Turn, if you would, in your Bibles to Revelation 21. That's where we will be today. What I would like to do is I want to read just the first few verses there of that I've outlined, verse 18. I want to start with that. I'm just going to read that verse, and I'm going to take the rest as we go. There's an outline on the back of the bulletin, and I know some are really kind of thinking this is going to take like 4 days. I'm going to try to move through it quickly. But these are just, there's 14 privileges that are realities, I should say, that are ours, that are listed in this section concerning the new heaven, the new Jerusalem, that we are going to experience as believers. That goes all the way back to chapter 21, verse 10, where he mentions some of these things. I'm picking it up in verse 18. Let me read that, then I will pray, and we'll get into our time together. The material of the wall, this is speaking of the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven. Remember, all things have been made new. Chapter 21, verse 1, there's a new heaven and new earth. But it says in verse 18, the material of the wall was jasper, and the city was pure gold, like clear glass. Loving Father, we are grateful to be able to call on your name. We thank you that you have all things in control, and nothing that comes into our lives does not come into our lives without you allowing it to happen. We are thankful of your tremendous love for us, that you would send Jesus to be the propitiation, the satisfying payment for all the times we've messed up, we've sinned. I thank you that he willingly came as a suffering servant, bearing our sin on the cross, and 3 days later rising again in triumph, in which we have incredible hope, both now and into the future. Thank you for each one that have come before you. Father, we've mentioned some of the things that we are concerned about. There are individuals that they are in difficult places with their health. For Shar, for Mary, for others, I just set them before you again and ask that you will raise them up to full strength, to full health. Help those that surround them, family members. Would you give them courage? Would you increase their faith? Father, as we look at this text, we need your help. That you have set before us an inheritance in heaven is amazing to us. And so we are thankful for that. And we pray that you would move now in our hearts. Help us to see what we need to see. In Jesus' name, amen. It was over a week ago, Pastor Wes was in his office, and he was drinking a Monster Energy drink. And he gave me what was on the label to sell it. Here's what it says. Tear into a can of the meanest energy drink on the planet, Monster Energy. It's the ideal combo of the right ingredients in the right proportion to deliver the big bad buzz that only Monster can. Monster packs a powerful punch, but has a smooth, easy drinking flavor. Athletes, musicians, anarchists, co-eds, road warriors, geeks, hipsters, and metalheads dig it. You will too. So I had to have one. I mean, that sells, right? And I found out that, well, didn't do much for me. I couldn't actually drink the whole thing. It was too sweet. Younger people can do it. I see them all the time with those things. But here's the thing. The world promises a lot, but is short on delivery. The world promises a lot, but is short on delivery. However, our Lord's promises, he makes them. He promises a lot and always delivers. And we will find out it turned out exactly as he has said. 1 Peter 1, 3 through 5, that whole piece, 1 Peter 3 and following up to about verse 9 are very vital. If you want something to encourage your heart, take note. Here it is. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his grace, great mercy, has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Incredible hope we have. And look what it says in verse 4, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. What is set before us in this scripture is an inheritance. It's a detailing of the New Jerusalem. It's kept by the power of God, and we will one day experience it. Every believer will. There are 14 realities here, and they detail things concerning the future of Jerusalem, our future, that I want us to know. The first is this: the city has unparalleled wealth. Look at verse 18. The material of the wall was jasper. The city was pure gold, like clear glass. The wealth that is in this city is beyond measure. It's beyond comprehension. This is what Abraham and others of the saints were looking for. Chapter 11 of Hebrews, the 10th verse, speaking of Abraham, he is looking for a city who has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. That's what this New Jerusalem is. God has planned it. He will bring it about. You may recall that Abraham longed for this city, and I believe we do as well. There's hardly a week that goes by that some believer doesn't tell me, I can't wait for heaven. And notice the one who designed it. God himself is the one who drew up the plans. Man designed this building. Somebody with ability to do that. But the New Jerusalem will be beyond anything man could draw up. Think of its wealth, the city, and it appears to me that the main street is here is it's of pure gold, precious stones, miles upon miles of walls that would cost a fortune. Remember, we looked at this last week. The walls are around 1,500 miles in every direction. It's a cube. That's incredible. Their height is the same. It's unparalleled display of wealth and beauty, gold you can see through. It's the inheritance of every believer. I don't know what you would think about or what some of you may have experienced an inheritance already, but there's no inheritance that compares to what is before us. Unparalleled wealth. It also has unparalleled beauty. Look at verses 18 through 21 again. The material of the wall was jasper, and the city was pure gold like clear glass. The foundation stones of the city wall were adorned with every kind of precious stone. The first foundation stone was jasper, second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardis, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysopras, the 11th jacinth, the 12th amethyst. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each one of the gates were a single pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold like transparent glass. Again, unbelievable. The foundation stones, jasper, it's diamond-like. Sapphire is a brilliant blue. Chalcedony is an agate stone. Emerald, a bright and brilliant green color and colored stripes. Sardonyx, a red and white striped stone. Sardis, a common quartz stone found in various shades of red. Chrysolite, the seventh one mentioned, transparent gold, yellow-hued stone. Beryl, a stone found in various colors, including shades of green, yellow, and blue. Topaz is a yellow-green stone. Chrysopras, a gold-tinted green stone. Jacinth, a blue or violet-colored stone. And amethyst, a purple stone. The sights that are in heaven, the sounds as well will accompany them, but they're of unparalleled beauty. There's nothing like we have ever seen before. The Lord is there, and that in itself is amazing. His glory shines through this beautiful city. The gold, the precious stones of every kind that his glory lights up and shines through will be done with unrestricted hindrance, and they are amazing. The angels, the music, the loud singing, we've seen that previously in the book of Revelation, chapter 4 and 5, they will accompany this. The throne of God and the bride of the Lamb, the Old Testament and tribulation saints together as one singing. We may have seen some kind of beauty in a sunset. How many of you saw the sunset last night? Another beautiful sunset, proclaiming the glory of God. But nothing like we will see there. The mountain ranges, we've seen those, we've seen rainbows, but they're only a foretaste of what is yet to come. Again, this is our inheritance as believers. This is our inheritance. There's unparalleled gates and street. Look again at verse 21. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each one of the gates was a single pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. Notice those gates are made of a single pearl. I don't know the width, the length, or the height of those gates. I'm not sure. We're not told that. But they will, I'm sure they'll be large. How could they be made from one pearl? Well, I believe that God could create all things, and he has. If he could part the Red Sea for his people, he certainly can do this. But that's what they're made of, one pearl. And feasting one's eyes on one of those gates will leave us, I believe, marveling not just at the beauty of what we see, but of the one who has put it together. Not only are the gates described, but there's a street. Singular, street, not streets. There is a street that goes through Jerusalem, detailed for us here as well. It is transparent gold. Transparent gold. Nothing like it. And the street of the city, the last part of verse 21, was pure gold like transparent glass. You can see through it. How beautiful that would be. We will marvel at that. Recently, a county road that runs, the county highway that runs near our home, 551, was repaved. Becky and I were riding bikes, and I mentioned to her how nice it was to ride on such a smooth surface. That road was made of asphalt. Asphalt, as you know, is a mix of sand, gravel, broken stones, soft materials, and asphalt. It's black, you cannot see through it, and over time, the dreaded pothole will come. Somehow, you and I find those. But this gold street will never need to be replaced, never need to be kept up. I've never held a pound of gold in my hand or witnessed a pearl the size and the magnitude described here. But it will be common there. Think about that. It'll be common there. That which is uncommon here on earth will be common in heaven. With that thought, have you ever wondered why me and you put such emphasis on gathering up treasure here on earth when our future, when our inheritance will be just that? We need to make sure we're storing up treasure in heaven. There's an unparalleled presence here as well. Look at verses 22 to 23 with me. I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God the Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. And the city has no need of the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God has illumined it, and its lamp is the Lamb. There's something that the New Jerusalem will not have, and that's a temple. But God and the Lamb are the temple. They are there. They are both there. And I would see this as the Father and the Son. They will be present with us in a different dimension than we have ever experienced. At this point in time, it's true we do have the Lord always with us. And the Holy Spirit takes up residence in us. The moment of salvation, he's with us. He's there. But have you ever thought about having the Father and Son present like no other time in history that we have known? That's what we will have. Notice as well, this city is lit up by the glory of God, and the Lamb is the lamp. That, again, is another amazing feature, an amazing reality of every believer's inheritance. Number five, there's unparalleled unity. Look at verse 24. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. Unparalleled unity. All men have come from one man, Adam, and all are descendants of Noah. From Noah's day, man has spread all over the world. You know that. However, the cross of Christ, as we have learned, reaches into the hearts of all men. Look at what Revelation 5:9 says. Well, the songs in heaven. They sang a new song saying, worthy are you to take the book and break its seals. For you were slain, and note this, purchased for God with your blood, men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. This is singing to the Lamb, Jesus Christ. What did he do? He purchased men from every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. All ethnicities will be in heaven. They all will be there. All nationalities are represented there. You know, the wicked heart of man at times hates and disdains other people groups. Our nation keeps running around with this thing. And that's because the heart of man is just that. He's not all he needs to be. He's full of himself, and he's sinful toward others. That will end in the eternal state. What a day that will be. I can't wait. It seems we, in the eternal state, we keep our earthly identities, because it says here, all the nations. And in chapter 5, verse 9, it says, every tongue, tribe, and people and nation. So they're going to be there. It's sinful, as you know, to hold prejudices toward other people groups. It is. In this, if this is a case for you, you need to realize what it is. You'd repent of it. The same Savior who paid for your sin paid for theirs. He purchased your redemption. He purchased their redemption. And every person's value before God is no more or less than the next person's. And there's coming a day of unparalleled unity. Believers of all nationalities. No racism there. Only that of pure unity and unbounded love. Arab and Israeli, both together. Americans and Iranians, both together. Youpers will get along with trolls. Yankees with rebels. Listen close. Green Bay Packer fans and Detroit Lions fans, they will be as one. Ford truck owners, Chevy truck owners, hand in hand. This is an aspect of our inheritance that we will experience. What a beautiful day that will be. There's unparalleled security as well. Look at verse 25. In the daytime, for there will be no night, its gates will never be closed. Why not? They won't need to be. God has obligated himself to everyone who are his forever. A safe place. He promised us an inheritance. Remember in First Peter 1, 5. Who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. We're protected by God. He's obligated himself to protection of every believer. Here, in the eternal state, in a daytime, there we know night, its gates will never be closed. Why? Because Satan has been taken care of. He's been cast into the lake of fire. His demonic realm is in the same place. There is not an unbeliever in that place to cause problems. It's a perfect state. We will be safe and secure every moment of the day. That's something we don't experience now. There are people who are losing their lives today. Someone is doing them harm. That'll never be the case there. There are believers in this past week have stepped into glory for the Lord's sake, for his name's sake. That'll never be the case there. Unparalleled security. There's also an unparalleled response to God. Look at verses 24 to 27. The nations will walk in its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. In the daytime, for there will be no night there, its gates will never be closed, and they will bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. And nothing unclean, no one who practices abomination lying, shall ever come into it, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Unparalleled response to God. We will be together. We will worship as never before, together as one people, basking in the glory of the Lord. Our response to God in that day will be what it ought to be. We will worship. We will never have to prepare our hearts in confession of sin. I believe every time before we come before the Lord in worship, we need to get our hearts right with. We need to search our hearts. We'll never have to do that in heaven. The old nature, the old man will be done away with. We will be perfectly holy people. So there will be an unparalleled response to God. Unparalleled residence as well in verse 27. Nothing unclean, no one who practices abomination, lying, shall ever come into it. But only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You go out on the street today, you will find two people in this world, those who have placed their faith in Christ and are God's children, and you'll find those who have rejected Christ and are not God's children. There's the saved, there's the unsaved. There's only two types of people as far as spiritually. We're surrounded by that all the time. In that day, we will not have that. There's a sober thought here as well, and we saw the same thing in verse 8 chapter 21. Look at verse 8. For the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. By this point in time, as we've entered in the eternal state in this teaching, the great white throne judgment will have taken place, where everyone who has rejected Christ as Savior, by the way, the most sobering passage in all of the Word, I believe, is found in Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. And we talked about that. That's that great white throne judgment where believers stand before Holy God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the books are opened. And those books are opened. To show, to demonstrate that what they are about to get is what they deserve. That's a sobering, sobering passage. These people will not be in heaven. Now, there's a false teaching out there today that many have embraced. There's all these different roads to heaven. And that in the end, God, who is a loving God, would never condemn anyone to eternal fire in hell in the lake of fire. And that in the end, everyone's okay. The scripture clearly states this is not so. And so for every one of us here right now, we either know Christ, we're a believer, we've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, or we're lost, one or the other. And if the latter part is you, I would pray that God would stir your heart to help you to understand you have a great need. It isn't a need to be more religious. It isn't a need to live a better life. It's a need to understand that I'm a sinner and I can't save myself. And that God has sent someone to redeem me, to pay the penalty for my sin. That person is Jesus Christ. And if I will embrace him as Savior, if by faith I will trust in his finished work, I will be redeemed. Romans 10:13 says, whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Right here, right now, in this place, right online as you listen, God would gloriously save you in this moment you need to be. And then these unparalleled things we've been talking about will be yours. You'll be forgiven. And God will take and use you and work in your life, and he has a plan for you and so forth. But you need to come to faith in him. There's unparalleled security, unparalleled response to God, unparalleled residence. It will only be believers. Only be believers. We know little of this at this point in our existence. I believe we get a taste of it when the body of Christ is united and we're together in worship. I believe we get a taste of this, what it will be like. But I think it's just a taste. Just a taste. There's unparalleled nourishment. Look at chapter 22, verses 1 and 2. Then he showed me a river of water of life, clear as a crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street, on either side of the river, was a tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. There's unparalleled nourishment. If you're thirsty, there's a crystal clear river. If you're thirsty, There's the tree of life. By the way, you might note that it bears 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. Now, when we think about the eternal state, I think some have thought, well, there'll be no time there, no timeline. How will, you know, forever is forever is forever. I don't know that that's wrong, but I do know something. Every month, there'll be a new fruit to partake of. And I don't know, the scripture doesn't tell that you know, God doesn't somehow keep track of all the years. I don't know. But there is this month after month that we'll be reminded of. And so, is there eating in heaven? Yes, there is. If you remember, it wasn't long ago, we looked at the marriage supper of the Lamb, chapter 19, verse 9. We're going to be a part of that. It was a supper that we are invited to and blessed to be a part of just before the thousand-year reign of Christ. But there's nourishment there, great food and great drink. Unparalleled freedom as well. Look at chapter 22, verse 3. There will no longer be any curse. The throne of God and the Lamb will be in it, and his bondservants will serve him. Unparalleled freedom. The only ones to have known what it would be like to live without the curse of sin upon themselves on this earth are who? Adam and Eve. They're the only ones. I don't know what that's like. Neither do you. I really don't know. I know what it's like to live in a sin-cursed world. I know what it's like to fail God. I know what it's like to hurt. I know what it's like to see death. We visit all these things this side of heaven. I know what it's like to live in a world that's just opposed to God. I know what that's like. We won't have that there. The curse of sin will not be upon man or on the earth. It's gone. You and I will experience this. We will we'll never have to examine our hearts to make sure we're right with God. We'll never have to seek someone's forgiveness. We'll never have to go before the Lord and say, I haven't been faithful, or I did that really out of a heart that was not right with you. That won't be the case. There'll be unparalleled freedom, unparalleled opportunity too. You know, it's this picture of heaven where we kind of float around the clouds with a harp, and what else do you do all day? That is not biblical. It's not biblical at all. We're going to be busy. We'll be real busy. There's a whole new earth to explore. There's this new Jerusalem, heaven itself. But look here what it says. I believe this will be one of the greatest blessings of heaven. Look at verse 3, the last part of it. His bondservants will serve him. I love that term, bondservants. These are individuals who've trusted Christ, who understand that their lives are lived in servitude to their great King. And it doesn't tell us exactly what we're doing there. I know we're going to rule and reign with Christ, but we're going to serve him. Is there a greater privilege than to serve the Lord? I don't believe there is. And it's interesting, it carries through into heaven. And for the first time in my life, I will serve him from a heart that's wholly pure. I'll never have to say, yeah, I preached that sermon. Man, I would have rather been out in a tree stand today. Or, you know, that serving was done because I had to. Or I served that individual and I really struggled not with them. No, I will serve him and I'll serve him perfectly. Praise the Lord. That will be our privilege. That's an unparalleled opportunity. Finally, unparalleled fellowship. Look at verse 4 and 5. They will see his face. His name will be on their foreheads. I guess I said finally. This isn't finally. We got two more, and I got to finish. Unparalleled fellowship. We will see his face. We will see his face. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. We'll see the Lord. We'll see the Lord Jesus. That'll be a first. Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13:12, speaking of our lives and where we're at, now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully, just as I also have been fully known. The scripture says we'll see his face. We'll see his face. Unparalleled fellowship. Two more and we're done. You guys got all this, right? Easy to set all this in your mind. I'm kind of glad God describes it this way, because it's a little bigger than I can fully put to words. It's more grand than I can explain. It's greater than anything we've ever known. Unparalleled display of God, verse 5. There'll no longer be any light, and they will not have the need of the light of a lamp, nor the light of the sun, because the Lord God will illumine them, and they will reign forever and ever. Unparalleled display of God. He lights up the city and all of heaven. Our nation and the nations of the world are striving to figure out the best way to produce electricity so that it can run a nation and people can be blessed by it. Solar, nuclear, wind, hydroelectric, fossil fuels are needed to light up our cities and homes. In heaven, there will be no power lines. The power grid will never be down because the Lord lights it up. Think of his glory, that he could do that. Again, we remember the New Jerusalem. It's only part of it. 1,600 miles square. That's from tip of the UP way down into and beyond Florida. And square. That's how big that is. And God's glory lights it up. We'll never experience a storm where the lights go out. Why? Because the glory of God is there. He created all things. I mentioned last week some about his glory not seen in its fullness. Here it will be. Finally, unparalleled privilege, they will reign forever. Look at verse 5. Last part, they, believers, will reign forever and ever. We reign with him. Twice John has been overwhelmed by the revelation the Lord has given to him. We'll find out next time we meet. We see him on his face again before an angel. You find that in verse 8 of this chapter. In verse 10 of chapter 19, he does the same thing. And both times he falls on his face to worship an angel. Both times the angel tells him to get up and worship God. My point here is just he's been overwhelmed with what he's seen. It is right for John to get before God, bow before him, to be in awe at what he has seen, and to worship. And I would ask the question, can we do any less today? I hope our hearts are overwhelmed in adoration with the future that God has planned for us. Thursday, this coming Thursday, is a day set aside in our land to give thanks to God. As believers, we're not exempt from trials, from heartache on this side of heaven. You guys know that well. The challenging and disturbing issues we face at times are met in our hearts with anything but rejoicing, anything but thanksgiving. I will acknowledge that not all things are good, but we can thank God that in our distress, if our response is right, it can draw us closer to him and make us to become more like our master. That last part is good indeed. With what God has detailed here, where should our hearts go? I think that's a great question. How should this touch us right now? We're talking about something in the future. We know that the next big event is the rapture of the church, the catching away of the bride of Christ. That's followed by those 7 years of tribulation, followed by a 1,000-year reign of Christ, and then the eternal state that we're speaking of here. But how should this touch us right now? Well, I think there's a couple things that we want to remember. I gave you 1 Peter 1, 3 through 5, about our inheritance kept by the power of God. He follows that up with this. In this you greatly rejoice. In this you greatly rejoice. The fact of the matter that I am in Christ, I have an inheritance. It's kept by the power of God. That's set before me. How about today? Rejoice. Rejoice, brother, sister, rejoice. Greatly rejoice has the idea to jump for joy, to exalt, to rejoice. My dad used to go to Tucson, Arizona, and sold Christmas trees every November to December. And My mom and dad, there were six of us then. That was a long month. Couldn't wait to see dad. I remember one time, you know, we would wait for the call. When's he going to get home? And the call came, coming home whatever day. I have two older sisters, and I'm not going to say which one because this is recorded, and it might come back to me, but one of them, one of them was overwhelmed with the thought of dad coming home. She was coming down the stairs, made a leap for joy, and didn't realize that the ceiling was closer than she thought. And she kind of did a reverse cartwheel, plume on the floor. Everything was okay. It made for a great laugh. Now, I'm not suggesting that you hit your head on the ceiling, but rejoice means to jump for joy, to exalt, to rejoice. We can get all excited about things on this earth that don't last forever. We ought to be excited and ecstatic over that which is ours, that which is to come, that which we will one day possess. Jesus said it this way. He sent out 70 disciples. They came back, and this is, they reported to him about the demons being, spirits being subjected to him. Nevertheless, he said, don't rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice in what? That your names are recorded in heaven. That's what you rejoice in. Listen, that which is to come has to make a difference today. It does. We need to keep the perspective of heaven before us because it matters in what we do today, how we think, and where our hearts are at. We need to rejoice. I don't do so well at this sometimes. You guys don't have that problem, right? I mean, it's not that, you know, as I say this to you, it's convicting to me because I haven't been jumping for joy as I should in my heart in this area many times. Too often, I let the things of this earth impact my heart and my attitude. Maybe you too. Maybe you do too. We need to get this right. I need to get this right. Here's my closing thought. You guys have been waiting for it, right? Greatly rejoice in your inheritance in Christ. Do that. Greatly rejoice in your inheritance in Christ. You could be given $1 million and it wouldn't hold a candle to what, if you're in Christ, what's before you. I want to ask you to stand and we're going to pray. If there are any questions, I'll be at the front. If you have some thoughts about, hey, I'm not sure that heaven is mine. I want to know more about that. Or maybe you have something you'd like us to pray about. But I'll be up front. Let me pray. I'm going to pray over the meal, then you guys can be dismissed and make your way there. Loving Father, you've revealed to us something today that is it's beyond words to describe. We thank you for letting us know that. And I believe the reason you've let us know that is you want us to know that we're secure in you. And you want us to know what's before us. And with what's before us, we ought to be storing up treasure in that place. I pray we will be about reaching others, influencing them into a relationship with Jesus Christ. We will be about investing in your word, investing in people. Those things are eternal. Father, help us to have the right attitude here and now. Bless your people. Bless the meal we're about to partake of. Thank you for those that have set up, those who have put this meal together. We want to fellowship around it and speak of the good things of you. In Christ's name, amen. You're dismissed.